So whenever you see somebody who has gone through fire for something, somebody who has gone through stress, emotional, psychological, mental stress, somebody who has bled for something, somebody who has cried for something, somebody who has invested money, somebody who has feared for something, when you go through that process, what you get at the end is somebody who deserves the rewards. What you get at the end is somebody who deserves the success. The only way to deserve success is to go through fire for it.
Every big thing starts small. It's a natural law. Every big multinational corporation was once a small business. Welcome to the Small Starter Business Podcast, a unique podcast for practical tips and advice to help you start, grow, or turn around your business.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. I am your host, as usual, John Paul Iwoha. Today's episode is about a topical issue. It is an issue that doesn't get as much attention as it deserves. And I'm hoping that with this episode, I'm going to create something that even I will likely want to listen to in the future when I encounter one of those periods, right? When I encounter one of those challenges that I'm going to be talking about in this episode. And what exactly am I talking about? I'm talking about how to handle the psychological and mental stresses of building a business, right? If you are human and you're listening to the sound of my voice and you are planning to start a business, or you've already started a business, or you've been in business for quite some time, that's you're an experienced entrepreneur, you definitely will go through stress, or you have gone through the stresses I'm talking about. You understand what I'm talking about, because as you're building something, you have a vision in your head and you apply yourself daily, weekly, monthly, every year to build that thing, you are going to encounter psychological, mental, and emotional stresses along your way, right? And you know, everybody goes through hard times. Some of the things I'm going to be talking about in this episode is how you handle yourself when you're going through hard times. Everybody goes through hard times because life itself is a cycle of good and bad times. But the key is being able to build resilience. Resilience is the ability to recover from setbacks, from difficulties, from failures, from hard times. Being able to build that resilient character, you have to learn how to cope with the bad times, so that you'll be around to enjoy the good times. Because like I said, life is about cycles. There are good times, there are bad times, right? Now, the thing is, with entrepreneurs, hard times are harder because of the lonely nature of the job, right? See, not many entrepreneurs know people they can talk to who can really understand what they are going through. That's still a difficulty we're having. But I'm hoping that in the future, it's not going to be that way. But right now, entrepreneurs have face that difficulty compared to people who are employed, people who work at a job. I still remember when I was still in corporate, when I was going through some psychological stress, like, you know, with my boss was giving me a hard time and I needed to understand how to handle a difficult boss. I had people around me I could talk to because most of the people around me were also employed. Some of them had more experience than I was. Some of them were peers and I was able to get support. But when you're building a business, it's a very lonely journey because there are not just a lot of people who are along that track. Almost everybody is in their silo minding their business. So that's what makes it especially hard for entrepreneurs, because it's difficult to find somebody you can talk to who understands what you're going through. That's why you need to have a coping mechanism that works for you. I'm going to talk a bit more about coping mechanisms later in this episode. But essentially, you need to have a way of coping with stress if you're going to succeed as an entrepreneur, because it's a marathon. Building a successful business is a marathon. It's a multi-year marathon. If you're going to endure this marathon, if you're going to succeed in this marathon, you need to have coping mechanisms that allow you to cope with the mental, the psychological, and emotional stresses you are going to be faced with as you go along that journey. Now, for some people, they cope through music and entertainment. Some people relax through music and entertainment. Some people, it is through physical or mental exercise. Some people, it is through social experiences with friends and family, hanging out with your friends, hanging out with your family, having quality family time. For some people, they find peace and they're able to find balance through prayer and spirituality, right? For some people, that's what centers them. That's what grounds them. That's how they cope with the stress and the mental burdens of building a business. For some people, it's travel. If you can afford it, both financially and time-wise. For some people, they just need that escape to go and recharge and refresh. That's how they cope with stress. Some people cope through therapy. Maybe they have a coach or a mentor or a specialist that helps them rationalize the stresses and the burdens that they are carrying as they build their business. So you need to have your own way of coping with stress. You need to find your own outlets and your own way of, you know, resetting so that you don't lose yourself in the journey, right? So the reason I'm not going to talk about why coping mechanisms are important. And if you don't, you may already have one unconsciously or without even thinking about it. It's very likely you have found a coping mechanism. But what this episode is going to do is that it will help you think more intentionally about your coping mechanisms. It's going to help you understand your psychological stresses better and how you can handle them. So why coping mechanisms are important is, for me, the first one is logic. Now, the reason why logic is important is that most of our reactions to stress as human beings are usually emotional. The way we react to stress is usually emotional. And emotions are good. They come with the human package, right? But my problem with emotions is that sometimes you might tend to overreact. For example, one emotion is fear. And the thing we fear sometimes is that it can be outsized compared to the threat or the problem that you're going through. Sometimes our fears are unfounded. They are bloated. They are oversized. That's one problem with emotions, right? Another one would be excitement. Sometimes you're excited, you become overconfident. Even when your overconfidence is not grounded by any factual reasons, you're just over. So emotions are good. They come with being human. But the thing is that they can mislead sometimes. That's why it can be safer to go with logic. So what logic does is when you're going through psychological stresses and you're going through all those emotional difficulties, emotional stresses that may be haunting you, what logic does is it helps to override those overwhelming negative emotions. That's one benefit of logic. You may not understand what I'm talking about now, but you're going to understand it as I progress into this episode. The second importance of having a coping mechanism is optimism. It's almost impossible to succeed in business without being optimistic. The kind of things we confront sometimes, you are facing an economy that may be faltering. Your business may be going through challenges. You may be running out of money. You may not know how you're going to get the money to meet your next payroll and pay your employees. You may be struggling under competitive forces. It could be that your sales are dropping and you don't understand why. It could be that your business is falling apart because you don't have the right systems in place to run the business. So what happens is anytime you step away from the business, even if it's for one day, you can't even fall sick. You can't go on vacation. You can't do anything. You walk away from your business and your business falls apart. All those stresses, and all of this is apart from the personal challenges you may be having in your life. You may be having difficulties raising kids, handling your marriage. You may be dealing with aging parents. You know, we have all these challenges that are even happening in our personal life that when combined with the business challenges we're facing, you now see that you're under a lot of psychological pressure, emotional stress, right? So it's difficult to survive in that kind of environment without optimism. You have to just believe that things are going to get better. Without that belief, you are nothing. Without that belief, you cannot even survive in business, let alone if you're doing business in challenging environments like many places in Africa. You need to be optimistic. You need to believe that tomorrow will be better than today, that the future will be better than today. Without optimism, we are nothing. So that is one benefit of having a coping mechanism. A coping mechanism helps you hold on to that belief. You have to believe in your vision. You have to believe in your, you have to believe in your mission. You have to believe in your product. You have to believe in the value that you create. You have to believe in the people that you have hired. You have to believe in yourself that you are worthy of leading your business to that mission, to that destination. Belief is fundamental to everything that we do in business. And you're nothing without belief. So it's your coping mechanism that helps you reconnect to your optimism in those difficult times when you feel like, you know, is it worth it? And you're going through all these turmoil in your mind because you're under stress. So that's the second benefit of having a coping mechanism. It reconnects you with your optimism. The third benefit of having a coping mechanism is endurance. Remember, building a business is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And the number one trait, the number one skill, the number one ability you need to run a marathon is endurance. A marathon is a kind of race where all of a sudden, speed is not what matters. If you're running a sprint, a 50-meter or a 100-meter sprint, speed is your friend, right? But if you try speed in a marathon, you're not going to make it. When it comes to marathons, what matters most is endurance. How long can you endure this barrage of challenges, of obstacles, of stress? How long can you endure stress? That's exactly what a marathon is. How long can you endure stress? So a coping mechanism improves your ability to endure stress and to overcome stress. That's a key benefit. So just to reiterate, the three key benefits of having a coping mechanism, whatever your coping mechanism is, the three key benefits is, the first one is logic, because logic is more trustworthy than emotions. Emotions are really not helpful when you're going through stress. The second is optimism. Without optimism, we lose it. Without optimism, we are nothing. Without optimism, you cannot be an entrepreneur and you cannot succeed in business. And the third is endurance, right? So now that I have this out of the way, I want to focus on a specific coping mechanism, which is how you talk to yourself. Now, I'm sure somebody out there is smiling because all of us do it. Make no mistake. All of us do it. If you embarked on a journey, essentially what a business is you're trying to build something over time. It's a journey. So in your mind, you can see your destination. You can see where you want to get to in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time. But the thing is, you can't just automatically disappear and appear in 5 years' time. You have to go through the journey between now and 5 years' time, between now and 10 years' time. And it's a torturous journey, right? So throughout that journey, you're going to be talking to yourself. Sometimes you ask yourself things like, do I really know what I'm doing? Should I be doing, you know, is this business worth it? Other times you may be asking yourself doubtful questions. Does this business really have the potential that I think it has? Was I right in quitting my job and getting into this business? Was I right in committing all that money into this business? There will be doubt, right? So all the time we talk to ourselves. We talk to ourselves. And sometimes some of this talk can be negative. It can be negative talk. It can be positive talk. It can be neutral talk. But the thing is, all of us talk to ourselves. And what these mental exercises are, would be, these are just things you need to infuse in those periods where you are committing, you are having that conversation with yourself. And it's a way of coping with psychological, mental, emotional stress. So I'm going to give you six specific ones. These are things I've applied over time. And that is why I mentioned that, that's why I mentioned in the beginning of this episode that it's likely this is going to be an episode that I will personally be listening to even on my own journey, because this is an opportunity to talk to myself. These are things I've been doing over time, but I'm glad I now have it on record so that I can listen to myself. So I'm not just doing this for the listeners and for the audience. I'm also doing it for myself because all of us go through these stresses. So I'm going to talk through six mental exercises. Essentially, they are statements, they are questions that you need to infuse into the conversations you have with yourself when you're going through psychological and mental stress. The first one is that every bad situation could be worse. It's an important thing that we often take for granted. You're going through a bad time. Your business is running out of money. One of your businesses just crashed. The tax authorities closed down one of your businesses, or maybe raided one of your bank accounts. You just lost 50% of your customers. I'm trying to give you examples of bad things, really bad things that can happen to your business. The economy of your country is in a recession, and all of a sudden, 75% of your business is wiped out. It doesn't matter what you go through. Guess what? It could be worse. Any bad situation you're going through right now, it could be worse. And the reason I know that is, if you're listening to what I'm saying, at least, even if you've lost everything, you're still alive. Even if you're sick, you're still alive, right? It could be worse. You know, there are instances where somebody is saying, oh, I just lost somebody dear to me. I just lost a parent, or I just lost a friend, right? You know, you could also, there are people who have lost two friends at the same time. There are people who have lost two parents at the same time. There are people who have lost entire families at the same time, right? What this means is that no matter what it is you're going through, it could be worse, right? It could be worse. So I don't want you to imagine how much worse it can be, because it doesn't matter how much you're looking at it. It could be worse. It's like the person who is standing on the road saying, I am broke, you know, and right now I'm a beggar. I've lost everything I worked so hard for. I'm now so broke. I'm a beggar. And then that same person sees another person who is also broke, but is blind in one eye and is also a beggar. And then the guy who is blind in one eye sees another guy who is a beggar, but is a cripple, right? So it could be worse. And then the cripple looks at all the other guys and says, these guys can walk. You know, this must be like the worst situation I've ever been. Only for the guy to look on the other side of the road and he sees this very well-dressed guy inside his car, hunkered over his steering wheel, and the man is dead. He's a rich dead man. So would you rather be a rich dead man or a cripple, right? So I'm not trying to, in terms of stretching it, you can stretch it to its limits. But for me, everything ends if you die. If you die, then you're out of the game. But as long as you're alive, you're still in the ring. As long as you're alive, you can still fight. So no matter what it is you're going through, it could be worse. So what this statement does is, it helps you understand that you can still fight. You're in the fight. It helps you look on the bright side of your situation, because every situation has a bright side. Like I just compared all the people, all of them are broke, but all of them are a certain kind of broke. One is broke, but he is fully able. He has two hands and two legs. All his senses are working. The other one is broke, but is blind in one eye. The other person is broke, but is crippled. The other person has money, but is dead. So bottom line is, it could be worse. And what that means is that when you understand that things could be worse, you start to appreciate the things that you still have. Those things that you still have, you now start to look at them. You start to look on the bright side of your situation and appreciate the advantages that you still have, right? You may have lost all of your business. You may have lost 75% of your business, but you still have you and all the experience and all the knowledge and all the skills that you have is still in your head. You still have those abilities. That's a bright side. You can work with that. You can restart with that. We have many of the legends you've heard of in business, Walt Disney, Henry Ford, all of them, including Elon Musk, all of them went through moments where things were really desperate, including yours faithfully, right? Everybody has their moments. But then you just have to realize that there are still, in those moments where it looks like you've lost everything, there are some things you have that you are overlooking and taking for granted. But if you can appreciate that you still have those things, then you are still in the fight. That's what that means. So the very first mental exercise, when you are under stress, when you feel like all is lost or things are very terrible, just remember that no matter how bad your situation is, it could be worse. And guess what? You don't want it to be worse. And because it is not worse than it is, we need to be grateful for what we have. Even though what we have is bad, even though we don't like what we have, but by knowing that it could be worse and we don't want it to be worse. All of a sudden, we are grateful for what we have. So don't forget, the first mental exercise when you're going through those hard times, that is that every bad situation could be worse. The second tip in terms of a mental exercise is that nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever, including suffering. Remember that at the very beginning of this episode, I said life is all about cycles. Life is a huge game of cycles, right? Life is a cycle of good and bad. And we see this all the time. The economy is a good example. There are times of growth, of boom, where, and the thing is that when the economy is booming, people think it's going to boom forever. But it never happens that way. If you look back the last 400 years, economies have grown and crashed all the time with almost a high degree of predictability. No economy grows forever and no economy is in a recession forever, right? So that is the benefit of understanding that life is a cycle. It's a cycle of good and bad. Sometimes you have growth. Sometimes you have recession. Sometimes you're in a harvest. Another time there's farming. So sometimes you have abundance, sometimes you have lack. That's the thing about it. Sometimes you have abundance, sometimes you have lack. You have day, you have night. That's a cycle you can see. Why is it not day throughout? With the plants need the sun to grow. We need to dry our clothes, right? So why not have a 24-hour day? No, that's not how life works. You have day, you have night. You have love, you have hate. Even in relationships and marriages, there are times you absolutely, absolutely hate your spouse. And there are times you are madly in love. That's how life works, right? There's peace and war. In any human society, it's almost impossible to have perpetual peace. In fact, we are fortunate to be living in one of the longest periods of peace in human history. We've not had a world war in 75 years. But of course, recently, the thing happening in Russia and Ukraine could be the origins of the next war. We don't know. But one thing we know for certain, when we look at human history for the last 2,000 years, human beings have periods of war and we have periods of peace. That's just how it is. We have war, then we settle for peace. And when we get tired of peace, we start fighting again. And when we're tired of fighting, we sue for peace. And when we're tired of peace, we fight. That's exactly how human nature is. There's also the cycle of fear and greed. You see this all the time, for example, on the stock market. When the stock market is rising, you hear, even on the radio, everybody's talking about the stock market. Invest in the stock market. You can double your money, triple your money. Invest in crypto. You can double your money, triple your money. And then greed sets in. And then people buy, buy, buy. And the market is rising. And then guess what? The market crashes. The market falls. And when it falls, you hear it on the news again. The market is crashing. It may never recover. This may be the worst of times. We've never seen this kind of drop before. The market has dropped 75% in the last 48 hours. All the negativity and pessimism starts. And it looks like the markets will crash and never recover. And guess what? The market starts to rise again. That's how life works. Life is a series of cycles. So when you understand that life is a series of cycles, what it means is that nothing lasts forever, including your suffering. You're going through pressure right now. You feel cornered. You are like, you know, is this the end? Guess what? All you have to do is to endure that phase of the cycle, because that cycle will not last forever. It's a certainty. It's a fact. That's the way the world works. The world works according to cycles. That economy is not going to remain bad forever. Right? The world works according to cycles. So the secret is to enjoy good times and prepare for hard times. When you're going through good times, enjoy it and remember to prepare, because the bad times are coming. Don't get carried away by good times, like as if the good times will be there forever. No. Enjoy the good times. It's your duty to enjoy the good times. Because if you are going to suffer in the bad times, you may as well just enjoy in the good times. So enjoying the good times, and remember to save up, remember to prepare for the bad times, because the bad times will come. So this is important, because if you're going through anything, it could be personal suffering, it could be business challenges, it could be difficulty. Your job is to endure and survive that hard time, because it's not going to last forever. So that is one kind of coping mechanism. And what this does is that this is a logical way of thinking through your problems. You're going through hard times, difficulty. For example, the economy is bad. The economy is in a recession in your country, right? You may get carried away by fear and all these things they say on TV and on radio and all these people who claim they are experts and they are predicting doom. You can get carried away by them, by those things, and you get overcome by fear. And remember what I said about fear. It's a kind of emotion that can be bloated and oversized. You get carried away by that emotion and you start to make irrational decisions. The benefit of understanding that everything is a cycle is that it is logical. It allows you to reconnect to your optimism because you know that good times will come. And then it allows you to endure because you understand what you're going through. Yes, it is hard. Yes, it is tough. But these things are not going to last because nothing lasts forever, right? So that is the second tip I have for you. Nothing lasts forever, including what you're going through right now. The third tip for coping with stress, psychological stress, mental stress, is that statement that the test of fire makes fine steel. The test of fire makes fine steel. As humans, most of the food that we eat, we have to cook it. And cooking may be practical for you, but for the things in the pot, it's not a particularly pleasurable experience. For those things that are in that pot, that are going through that high temperature, they have to go through that high temperature so that they can become food, right? You can't just eat raw beans and raw rice and raw meat and raw fish. They have to go through heat. And it is that high temperature that converts them from raw materials into food that you can actually eat and enjoy. It's the same thing that challenges and stress do to you as a person. Challenges cook you into a better version of you. It's the test of fire that makes fine steel. So challenges and hard times help to build a formidable character. Your ability to endure and overcome hardship makes you a valuable person. Why? Because being able to understand or solve problems that come with hard times for other people makes you valuable. You think of anybody, I'm still going to talk about it, but you think of anybody who is an expert or who has experience. They've gone through hard times. It could be the hard time of passing a very difficult exam, going through a difficult certification, learning the knowledge and skills that's required, spending years learning. Those things are difficult. But it is that difficulty that made that person the expert. You can't come out and say you are a medical doctor without going through the fire of medical school. You cannot claim to be a lawyer who can actually represent somebody well without going through the stresses of law school, right? All those things bake you into a better version of you. The same way you cannot claim to be a successful, you see all those successful entrepreneurs. And one good example would be the people on the Forbes list of richest people. Now, you might look at that list and see, wow, these are very successful people. I envy them. But that is also the list of people who have undergone torture, mental, psychological torture. Because you can only imagine what you have to go through mentally to be able to build a fortune beyond $1 billion, right? And then when some people say, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a billionaire, when you know the kind of fire that's required to become a millionaire or billionaire, I'm sure many people are going to reconsider that choice. Because what you see is the money. It's like seeing food and say, wow, tasty food. I want to eat this food. But you forget that there was a time that food was on fire, right? It was boiling, high temperatures. Nobody likes those temperatures, but we like the outcome. We like the output. That's the thing. To go through the process, you have to be baked. And what challenges do to you, what stress does to you, what difficulty does to you is that they bake you into a better version of yourself. Anybody you see who is succeeding in business, you don't want to know their story. You don't want to know what they've been through. You don't want to know the kind of fire they've had to walk through. You don't want to know the kind of sleepless nights, the kind of torture, mental torture they've had to go, they've gone through. All you see is that, wow, they've made it. We now live in a society that does not understand or appreciate the value of process. People don't understand or value process. People just want the outcome. They want the money. They want the lifestyle. They want the recognition. They want the awards. They just want the outcome. They want the food, but they don't want to go through the heat. If you don't go through the heat, you're going to suffer. And I'm going to talk a bit more about why the heat is necessary. The heat is necessary for the foodstuff to become food. The heat is necessary for the raw material to become a valuable product. The heat is necessary for iron to become steel. It's necessary. And that's because it builds the value, it builds the character in you. Now, I'm going to go ahead and talk about the fourth statement, which is part of this whole mental exercise, a coping mechanism, which is that the struggle, the sacrifice makes the reward worth it. Now, I want you to stick with me because this one is very important and interesting. The struggle you're going through, the sacrifices you're making now will make the results you're looking for worth it. And what I mean by this is, I already talked a bit about this earlier in the earlier point. Many of the achievements we are most proud of in our lives are the ones that cost us tears, money, and sacrifice. Just think about it. If there's any achievement, if there's anything you have in your life that you are proud of, that you value, it's very likely, very, very likely that it costs you tears, money, and sacrifice. And we can go through all of them. If you have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, or wife that you're very proud of, that achievement costs you something. Building a relationship is not easy. It's about give and take. It's about concessions. Is about stepping back for the other person, right? It's not easy. If you always want to have your way, you're not going to build a solid relationship. So anything you're proud of is costing you. You land a job. You land a good job that pays well. It costs you. You went through the recruitment process. You went through the tests, the interviews. You studied for those things. You deserve it. That's why you're happy about it. It costs you something. Getting your first customer is a proud achievement for many new businesses. Why? It costs you. After months of developing the product, starting the business, getting an office, getting equipment, hiring staff, doing all those things, you finally sell a product to a customer that is not your mother, is not your father, is not your sibling, not your friend. It's a very proud moment. But guess what? The reason you are proud of it is because of the sacrifices that brought you to that point. Building a successful business takes sacrifice. That's why any successful entrepreneur will be proud of what they built. So sometimes they're not bragging. It's just that you don't understand what they've been through. Anything you sacrifice for, you are likely going to be proud of it. Raising well-behaved kids in this society is a big achievement. Your kids are well-behaved and they're not giving you trouble. It requires sacrifice. Right? I found that the most difficult thing in raising children is not the money you spend on their food or school fees. No. Training a human being is difficult because it requires time and commitment. So if you're going to achieve that, when they grow up and you're proud of them, you're proud because it required sacrifice. You invested your time, your money, your strength and everything in it. So what I'm trying to say here is that we tend to value things that we sacrifice for. We tend to value things that put us through stress. And am I saying that if we don't go through stress, we will not appreciate what we have? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I have proof. Studies have found that 70% of people who win the lottery are more likely to go bankrupt between 3 to 5 years after they win the lottery. 70% of people who had their lives changed and turned around all of a sudden. You win a huge amount of money that changes your life. How do you go, please, can somebody just explain this to me? How do you go from $10 million to broke in 3 years or 5 years? 70%. That is a massive number. How do people go broke after winning so much money? Now, another study, and I'm saying all these things so that you can, Google is your friend. You can go check these things out for yourself. Another study found that winning the lottery does not make you happier or healthier. Now, in some of those studies, you will see people who are saying things like, they regret ever winning that money. One of them, I think, was a Whittaker or something like that in the US. He said that he wishes that he never won that money. I think he won over $100 million or so. His daughter and his granddaughter died of drug overdose. His relationships torn to pieces. His marriage crashed. You know, and the stories are the same. Why is it that when people win a lot of money and their lives are turned around all of a sudden, why does it then look like calamity just befalls them? I have a theory as to what is going on. And my theory is exactly what I was telling you about. When you don't sacrifice for something, when you don't go through fire to get something, all of a sudden, you don't deserve it somewhere within you. So you end up, you just waste it or just, you end up just throwing it all away. So it feels like stress, pressure, and challenges make us worthy of success. That is the missing element. When you win $10 million, $1 million, huge amounts of money, the only reason you throw it away within 3 years is that you feel that you are not worthy. So you start to make decisions and spend in ways that all of a sudden change who you are. So without stress, we're going to feel unworthy. I can imagine how I would feel if, for example, any of my certifications or my degrees, I didn't study for them or I didn't deserve them. Guess what? I won't even be talking to you right now because I'll be feeling like an imposter. My mind will be telling me, why are you deceiving people? You don't know what you're talking about. All those degrees you said you got, you don't know anything. That's what I'm going to be getting in my mind because I'll feel like I don't deserve it. So whenever you see somebody who has gone through fire for something, somebody who has gone through stress, emotional, psychological, mental stress, somebody who has bled for something, somebody who has cried for something, somebody who has invested money, somebody who has feared for something. When you go through that process, what you get at the end is somebody who deserves the rewards. What you get at the end is somebody who deserves the success. The only way to deserve success is to go through fire for it. If you find any other way to that success, you are not going to last very long. That's the only way to explain why people will win a lottery and 70% of them will lose the money within 3 to 5 years. There is no other way I can explain that outcome other than the people who won that money were not deserving of it because they did not go through fire for it. So what it looks like is the more fire you go through, the more stress you're able to endure, the better the version of you that will come out on the other side. That's essentially what this is. Nobody likes fire, including the chicken and the fish you're cooking in that pot, including the rice and the beans you're cooking in. If they could talk, they would be screaming, take me out of this pot. This is terrible. This is human rights or animal rights abuse or something like that. But the truth is that it takes fire to make food. It takes stress. It takes pressure to make the character, to build the character and create the version of you that would be worthy of the success. Without that process, you are nothing. Without that process, you will be undeserving of anything you get. So go and check, go and look at anybody who has made money through the easy way, like easy money. Right? Beyond what they do initially, just follow them over time. That's why I'm putting my hand on the studies. Just go on Google. If this is the first time you're hearing it, just go on Google and search. What's the percentage of people who go bankrupt or broke after winning the lottery? You'll see it for yourself. And then you can read accounts of people who won the lottery 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago. Where are they now? And you'll be shocked at you'll be shocked, number one, at the kind of things they spent the money on. You'll be shocked at how fast they fell. So getting rich is not the problem. Now I know getting rich is not the problem. Staying rich is the problem. That's a real problem. Because if you don't have the character for the wealth, you're not going to last at the top. I have tremendous respect for people who have built wealth and have maintained it. It's difficult to stay wealthy. Because when you have money, the only thing you hear from yourself, the only thing you see on TV, the only thing you see on social media, the only thing you hear from friends and from family is spend, 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 spend. I need this. I need that. I need this. And spend, spend, right? It takes a certain kind of character to say no, right? When you've worked for your money, when you've gone through stress, when you've bled for your money, you can't spend it anyhow. That's the truth. You can't spend it anyhow. So I think I've spent quite some time on this topic, and I'm hoping you put it. So this is like a different way of looking at the pressures you're going through. If, for example, you're going through problems in your business as a result of sales, you can't figure out how to sell more products, or your business is suffering from poor structure, or you're suffering at the hand of your employees. You don't know how to find the right people, retain the right people, or you're having trouble with leadership. You are not yet the kind of leader that can build the kind of organization that you want. That fire is necessary, because it's that fire that will create the version of you that can solve that problem. That fire is necessary for you to become the kind of person that can overcome that kind of problem in your business. So that's it for the struggle and the sacrifice being necessary for the reward. And then the fifth one is about I would call it a plague. It's a plague that afflicts entrepreneurs, and it's a plague of comparison. So what I would say about comparison is that comparisons are not always reasonable. And what I mean is, sometimes comparisons can be reasonable. So if you compare yourself to other people in a way that is helpful, because like I just said, comparisons can help you or hurt you. It all depends on how you use it. If you compare yourself to other people, other business people, other entrepreneurs, you know, essentially there's a name for it. There's a formal name for it. It's called benchmarking. And businesses do it. Governments do it. You benchmark performance. It's a way of comparing yourself to other people, but in a constructive way, right? So if you're benchmarking yourself to other people in a way that inspires you or challenges you to be better, then comparison is good if you use it that way. But there are bad ways of using comparison that end up having negative effects on you. So comparison is hurtful if it brings you negative emotions and mental and psychological stress. So if you find that you're in the habit of comparing yourself to other people, and the outcome is that you feel bad because you feel like you're performing below your potential, and rather than being inspired, you're feeling resentful, you are lacking energy, you're losing your optimism, you know, and stuff like that. What I have to say to you is that, remember that when you compare something, to properly compare something, you have to compare things that are alike. So like they always say, you shouldn't be comparing apples to oranges. An apple and an orange, yes, they are fruits. Yes, they grow on trees. Yes, they taste sweet. But the truth is, an apple is not an orange, and an orange is not an apple. If you really want to compare something, compare an apple to an apple, compare an orange to an orange, but don't compare an apple to an orange and tell me that an apple is sweeter. Yes, an apple is sweet, but in its own way. An orange is sweet, but in its own way. It's unfair, fundamentally unfair, for you to compare an apple to an orange. But like I said, if you have to compare, if you must compare, compare an apple to an apple, and compare an orange to an orange. And that is where you start to see how misleading comparisons can be when you use them in hurtful ways. Because the truth is, nobody is exactly like you. Nobody has your history. Nobody has your background. Nobody has faced the exact challenges you faced. Nobody has faced the setbacks you faced. Nobody's journey is like your journey. Everybody's journey is unique. Even if you have two people building the same kind of business, and the two of them are twins from the same mother, their journeys would be very unique, very different. So nobody is exactly like you. And what you do when you compare yourself to other people is you're trying to compare an orange to an apple. You're being unfair by comparing them because the two of them are fruits. But they are two different kinds of fruits. And they have their own virtues. They have their own features, their own characteristics. It's unfair to compare an apple to an orange. Look for another orange and compare that orange to that orange. And my argument is you may not find, because you are unique in your own way. Like I just said, your history, your background, the challenges you faced, and the nature of your journey will be very different. Even if you're in the same business as the people you're comparing yourself with, right? So that is the problem with comparison when you don't do it well. If you compare yourself to other people in a way that makes you resentful, in a way that makes you feel bad, then you're not getting it. What comparison should do is comparison should infuse you with energy. It should infuse you with inspiration. Comparison should challenge you to want to be better, not make you want to give up and say, why the hell am I doing this? After all, look at that other guy. You know, I was even better than him in school. Even that guy doesn't even know anything, and see how well he's built his business. Okay, look at that other guy. I'm older than him. I'm 2 years older than him, and see the way his business is. And look at that guy. You know, I studied medicine. I studied law. I studied engineering. I'm smarter than him. He didn't even go to school. And look at his business. All you're doing is you're comparing apples to bananas. You're comparing yam to cassava. You're just comparing different things. Nobody's exactly like you, right? And I'm going to end with, as long as you stick to the journey, all of us will arrive at our destination at different times. So all of us are heading to the same direction. All of us want to be successful. For some people, having $100,000 is what success means to them. They just want enough money so that they can travel or maybe spend more time with their family or retire. For some people, success means having $1 billion. All of us have our different understandings, different definitions of success. But whatever success means to you, if you stick to the journey, you are going to arrive at that destination. But you will not arrive at the same time as other people. All fingers are not equal, but together they make a hand, right? So all of us are going to get to our destination, but at different times. Right. So that's it for comparison. I hope I did this justice, because this is how I tend to think of comparison. I'm hoping, like I said, that in the future, when I catch myself engaging in comparison that is hurtful, I'm hoping that I'm going to look for this episode and listen to it to remind myself that people manifest in different ways. All of us are not the same. I'm a different kind of fruit from the kind of fruit that you are. All of us are fruits, but I'm different. You are different. Same as other people. So it doesn't make sense comparing myself to you, especially when I know that all of us are heading in the same direction. The only difference is that we'll get there at different times. And when you get there, you wait for me. You get there, you wait for me. Right? When you get there, you wait for me. So there's no rush. Right. So that's it. Then the sixth coping mechanism I want to talk about, I think I saved the best for last, which is failure, right? Failure is like at the other end where you feel that you have performed far below your expectations of yourself. And then failure shows up. But then, you know, this thing called failure, I have a counterintuitive perspective to it, which is that your failure is actually a better teacher than success. Failure is a better teacher than success. And when you look around, whether you're doing an MBA program, you're in business school, or they are teaching you something, just look at the examples that they use in teaching you anything. If anybody's going to teach you something, it's likely that example is about a failure. Because a failure is interesting, right? Even look at any favorite movie you have, just analyze that movie right now. That movie was about somebody who encountered a challenge, an obstacle, and they recovered from that challenge, thereby making them a hero. There is no hero without failure. So they have to go through failure, the challenge, they overcome the challenge, and then they become a hero. That's because the best lessons in life are told through the lens of failure. Without failure, you don't have a solid story. Without failure, you don't have lessons. Failure is a better teacher than success. What does success have to teach me? Success just tells me, okay, you made a lot of sales and then now you have a lot of money. Okay. Yes, I'm inspired. Oh wow. If you can do it, I can do it too. Yeah, I'm inspired. Yes. But what does it teach me? What exactly does it teach me? Maybe you can tell me how you made that money. You can tell me, you know, you said a certain thing to your customers and then your customers bought. But the thing is that it worked for you doesn't mean it's going to work for me. You just told me how you got successful, but there's not much to learn from that. When failure is involved, I get to learn more because experience comes from failure. Anybody who tells you I am experienced, do you know what it means? Experience means that I have gone through failure because I cannot have experience without failure. It's impossible to be experienced without learning the hard lessons of failure. What experience means is that I have seen different situations that don't work. And I know the situations that work. So it is better to hire an experienced person because an experienced person is unlikely to make what? Guess what? Mistakes. Yes. An experienced person is unlikely to make mistakes. Guess how you can avoid making mistakes? When you've made them before. When you know what they are. If you know what the mistakes are, you can avoid the mistakes. But when you don't know what a mistake is, you can't avoid what you don't know. So an experienced person has gone through the hard lessons of failure. And that's how they know to avoid them. Failures and setbacks are painful experiences. Nobody wants to go through failure. But failure is essential to build capability, to build skill, to build experience. If you're going to hire anybody, when companies hire, they place a premium on experience. The amount of money you pay an experienced person is far higher than the amount of money you pay an inexperienced person. You know why? The experienced person has failed before, or they know what failure is. And failures are expensive. So when you hire an experienced person, you can avoid failure. They can help you avoid failure. That's why you pay them more. That's why you offer them a higher position in the company, because they've gone through failure. So failures and setbacks are painful experiences, but they create opportunities for learning. Failure is a better teacher than success. We may not like failure, but when they come, when they show up, the important question you need to ask yourself, beyond all the emotions that are going through you, you're feeling disappointed in yourself, you're feeling dejected, you're feeling sad, you're feeling angry. Yes, you are permitted to feel all those things, right? But the important question you need to ask yourself is, what is the lesson I have learned from this failure? From this business that crashed, from running out of money, from being unable to raise money, from hiring somebody that I thought was a good fit for my business, but the person turned out to be an overwhelming disappointment. You know, from making mistakes in structuring my business, from my leadership lapses, what are the lessons to be learned? Because the thing about failure is, if you learn the lesson, then you overcome the failure. But if you refuse to learn the lesson of a failure, the failure repeats itself. That's an interesting thing about failure. Failure shows up to teach you a lesson. But if you don't learn the lesson, guess what happens in school when you don't learn a lesson and you don't pass an exam? You repeat the class. Yes, that's what happens to failure. If you don't learn from failure, the failure repeats itself. So if you don't want the failure to repeat itself, what you say is, I don't like this thing that happened to me. I don't like this experience. It's very painful, but I don't want to go through this again. You know, the only way to make sure you don't go through it again, to learn the lesson of failure. And when you learn the lesson, voila, you're promoted to the next level, to the next level of competence, the next level of experience, the next level of know-how, the next level of skill. That's how it works. So you may not like the failure you're going through, but you need to fall in love with the lessons of that failure. So this has been I was really amped up, you know, during this lesson and during this episode, and I'm I'm happy I've given this the kind of energy that I have, because like I said, it's a topic that doesn't get enough attention. So to recap, I started this episode by talking about cycles and hard times, good times, that everybody goes through hard times. Life is a cycle of good times and bad times. And then I talked about coping mechanisms. Coping mechanisms are how you deal with pressure, how you deal with psychological, mental, and emotional stress. People have different ways. I mentioned some people do it through music. Some people it's exercise. Some people it's travel. Some people it's prayer and spirituality. Some people it's therapy. Whatever it is that works for you. All I've just done today is to give you 6 additional ways to think through the stresses you're going through. 6 additional ways to complement the things you say to yourself in those hard times, in those downtimes, in those periods of failure and disappointment and challenges and setback. All these things I've mentioned today are very important. In fact, if I had to just quickly run through them, the first one is every bad situation could be worse. Whatever it is you're going through, it could be worse. The second is nothing lasts forever. Life is all about cycles. Nothing lasts forever, including your suffering, including the pressures you're going through. The third is that it takes the test of fire to make fine steel. If you want to become a better person, a successful person, there is a price you have to pay. And that price is you have to go through the oven. You have to go through the fire of stress and sacrifice, right? I mentioned that. The fourth one I mentioned is that the sacrifices you make the reward worth it. And this was a point where I referenced the study about people who have won lotteries, that they tend to go bankrupt. And why? And my theory is when you don't go through fire for something, you end up feeling like you don't deserve what you get. So the only way to own your success, the only way to deserve your success is to sacrifice for it, is to go through the struggle for it. And then the fifth tip I gave was around comparisons. I said that comparisons can be helpful and they can also be hurtful. And then I ended with failure, about how failure can be the best teacher you ever had. So at this point in the episode, let's talk about our partner, Quezza. Quezza is doing tremendous things for small and mid-sized businesses on the African continent. If you sell products, Quezza provides a platform to help you expand your client base. You can sell to customers in other African countries, or you can export beyond the shores of Africa to customers in Europe, in the US, in Canada, in the Middle East, and even in the Far East, right? So what Quezza does is Quezza allows you to get into international trade. And what international trade means is that you can earn foreign exchange. You can expand your sales and your customer base by serving customers that are beyond your immediate local market. So I tend to liken Quezza to what Alibaba did for the Chinese market. Alibaba in the early 2000s opened the Chinese market for small and mid-sized Chinese companies. And today, almost everybody is doing business in China, making products, creating products. But Africa remains opaque. Despite our potential, despite the power, the population size, despite the opportunities that can be created for small and mid-sized businesses, which comprise more than 90% of all businesses in Africa, more than 90% of businesses in Africa are small and mid-sized businesses. What Quezza does is it helps those businesses to get into the international market, so that they can earn more, pay more in local taxes, they can employ more people, they can create prosperity, right? So to learn more about Quezza, you can download the app on the App Store or the Google Play Store. The name of the app is Quezza Seller. So Quezza is K-U-U-E-Z-A, Quezza Seller. And then if you want to explore the range of products on the platform you want to buy, it is Quezza User. So at this point, there are 4 things I need you to consider. The first is to join the Insiders program. One of the reasons why I created a private and exclusive community of insiders is because of the kind of pressures that entrepreneurs face, right? One thing I notice is after you listen to, you watch a lesson on YouTube or you listen to a podcast like this, you're really fired up. You're really, really fired up. And then by the next day, you're asking yourself, where did all that energy go to? What's the next step I need to take? What should I do? Right? That's why I created a community, because I understand that entrepreneurship is an ongoing process. It's a journey you embark on every day. So whether you're having troubles with sales, growing your company, raising money for your company, or whatever, the Insiders provides a platform for you to work directly with me so that you can make gradual, steady, and consistent progress on your journey. The second thing, of course, to check out the Insiders, you can do that. You can check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it is smallstarter.com/insiders. The second thing I want you to do is to tell your friends about the podcast, right? The information, the insights you've got today is free, 100% free. You're not paying for this. Right. And all I ask is that you let other people know about the podcast so that they can benefit from the value, you know, that's shared in this podcast. Our backlog of episodes features everything from how to find the right name for your company. We touch on issues around branding, how to raise money for a business, the right way to enter a market, how to choose between business ideas, how to generate business ideas, how to hire the right people, when and how to fire, how to structure your business, you know, a wide range of interesting topics, which are issues that entrepreneurs go through during their career. So if you've been listening to the podcast, I would ask that you recommend it to your friends. Let them just go Google Small Starter Business Podcast, the Small Starter Business Podcast. They're going to find us right there at number one in the Google search results. The third thing is, if you've been listening to the podcast and you find us deserving of a 5-star review, we think that would be the best way to say thank you and give us a pat on the back. So whatever app you're using to listen to this podcast, whether it's the Google Podcast or the Apple Podcast or Stitcher or Spotify, leave us a 5-star rating. What that does is, number one, it's a pat on the back. Number two is that it improves our rankings in the algorithms, so that anybody who's looking for a podcast that talks about business, entrepreneurship and business in Africa can find us. Also, you can follow my work on, you can follow me on social media. I have almost 1 million followers on LinkedIn. You can search for me there, John Paul Iwoha. We also have a community on Facebook, the Small Starter Business Club. You can follow me on Twitter at JP_Iwoha. And I'm also active on the handle at Small Starters on Twitter. So until the next episode, remember, life is all about cycles, right? Enjoy the good times, but don't forget that nothing lasts forever. Prepare for the bad times, endure the bad times. And the goal is to build a resilient character that can survive the hard times. And then, of course, hang around to enjoy the good times. So until the very next episode, take care of yourself. Be safe. Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. To take our free business courses or join one of our signature programs for special entrepreneurs like you, head over to smallstarter.com to join our private community. See you inside.